Shalom, shalom, shalom to the bride of Christ. God bless you. We're happy to have you with us on the Bride TV, the channel with the present truth and the end time message. This is Rapture Watch, where watch and prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm Brother Olumide Jesus David, and I have my wonderful brother with me, Brother Gabriel Yenjaka. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Olumide. And shalom to the bride of Christ worldwide. Yes, welcome to another opportunity to be blessed. This Rapture Watch, where we watch for the coming of the Lord. Remember to get a pen and write something in your heart as we grow spiritually. God bless you.
We'll definitely be blessed today because we have with us a pastor of the fivefold order.
That's right.
Yes, every pastor is of the fivefold order. We have with us the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom to the Bride TV crew. I want to start with them.
Amen.
Because without them coming and making all the sacrifice they are making, you will not be listening to us.
Now. That's right.
You
that's
too
right.
will not be sitting down.
Of course. Yes.
So I say shalom to the Bride TV crew and shalom to you, the Issachar brothers, you, as you call yourselves.
Thank you, sir.
And shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide, particularly shalom to all those who are anxiously waiting for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
This program is put together to help us watch better. Amen. And to understand the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Events preceding it, what to watch out for, what is going on that will trigger this soon coming of the Lord that we call the rapture. We pray that today's episode will help you as usual. So stay tuned and prayerfully too, with a pen and Bible, because sometimes we say, pen and paper, I mean, yes, sometimes we say things that, you know, could talk to you, and then, so you need to just put it down to a prayerful look at it
that's
again.
That's true, sir.
Yeah, so we want to thank you for the opportunity to minister to you. I want to thank God for the privilege he has given us to use us to meet your spiritual need at this hour. Stay tuned. Shalom.
Thank you so much, sir. We have something interesting to look at today. But before we unveil our topic to the Bride of Christ watching us now,
that's right.
Some matters have risen up again. And in fact, this is something going both within the Christian faith and outside the Christian faith is causing a lot of stir. And that's, we get that from this video we're going to play for you and the Bride of Christ to watch now. Okay, so let's watch this interesting video.
In COVID, I bought a jet. In COVID. The third, I have three. The third one. In COVID. I was praying for COVID not to end because I was resting. Why people were complaining? I was, my wife asked me, say, can life be this sweet? Am I talking to somebody here? No stress. I read on the net, was it yesterday, somebody sent it to me. There's a rumor going around that I have a machine that prints money. I like that rumor. Say it should be investigated. He has a machine that prints money. I said, if they say somebody says it true, I said it's true. Huh? It's risky. I said, I didn't know it's risky. I already bought the machine. When you speak in tongues, you are printing money.
When you speak in tongues, you are printing money. Well,
wow, I need money. Please just begin to speak in tongues so that I have money.
Okay, sir. But please, sir, let's look at this objectively, sir.
Yes.
Because we are the Bride of Christ.
That's true.
We don't just move with every tide or every wind. Mm. Is there really anything wrong with a pastor having a private jet, sir?
Actually, you know, that this clip that shown, this statement he made, have aroused a lot of reactions. Yes. From, you know, the social media community.
That's true. That's know. Very true.
And it's only normal that why? You know, the truth is that our brother Apostle Suleiman I think he enjoys, controversy. I think it's like he enjoys it, you know. He likes to be in the news. And unfortunately, negatively, you know. It will be negative. The reason is that we that are servants of God, we are ministering to people. So a lot of people will listen to us, and there is a standard that is expected of us, you know, in what we contribute to the society. There's a standard that is expected of us. We are in the ministry of giving the people hope. So in moments of stress and frustrations, you know, people look up to us, you know, to have hope. We tell them God can do it and keep them going. You see? And we are men that are supposed to be revered. And the people who are revered, we know that our statements, you know, carry weight. So, because people follow you, people are going to be influenced by your statement. A very close friend of mine once was advising me, and then he made this in the course of the advice, he told me, he said, "Brother Moses," he said, "do you know that there are people that so believe in you, Brother Moses?" He said he knows some of them, that if you ask them to go and kill, they will go and kill. If you ask them to take poison and die, they will die. They will take it once it is you. And I believe it, because I know a few people that called me from Europe and from America, who had decided, for instance, believing in all these propaganda theories in the social media about the COVID-19 vaccine, that had made up their mind, no. But when they heard my comment that you should go and take it, they told me, because you said it, we will take the vaccine.
Wow.
It's a very interesting question that somebody asked. Maybe I can make a comment on that. Listen, he says, "Shalom, Pastor Moses. I just want to ask this question because I say we are being confused now, and I needed a direction about the issue of vaccination for COVID-19. He says, should we go ahead and take the vaccine? Derek from Zambia. Praise God. Does COVID-19 virus exist? Yes. And it is killing people. Now, is there a treatment, a drug, a treatment for COVID-19? No treatment has been discovered yet. It has no cure. Now, any sickness that has no cure, science has an antidote for it. And what is the antidote? It's a vaccine. If there is no treatment for it, there is a prevention. And the only way to prevent it is by a vaccine. A time is going to come that without the COVID-19 vaccination, you will not be able to leave your country. You will not travel out of the country. It is not an attempt to rule us by any man. It is a prevention. Don't carry that virus into our country. Pastor Moses, so what are you saying? I am saying, Bride of Jesus Christ, go and take the vaccine. It has nothing to do with all the propaganda they are saying. You see, so if I had said don't take it, they will not take it, because I'm not. Therefore, knowing there is such followership, people who have such faith in me, it will guide me in how I live my life, including comments that I pass both on public issues and on spiritual matters, politics and everything else, because you know, there are followers that I can influence positively or negatively. So if I realize that, it checks my lifestyle. If I know, there is a scripture. There's a scripture that just coming to my mind now. Psalm 50. I think it's Psalm number 50. The last verse there is Psalm 49, sorry. Not Psalm 50. Verse 20.
Yes. Man that is in honor.
Again.
Man that is in honor.
Man that is in honor.
And understandeth not.
And understandeth not.
Is like the beasts that perish.
Do you see the impact of that statement? Please read it again.
Man that is in honor.
Yes.
And understandeth not.
Yes.
Is like the beasts that perish.
Yes. You see? We must understand the honor we have. Being called servants of God.
Amen.
You see, and live our lives guided by that honor that we have.
Wow.
Now we sometimes, we men of God, must guide against bringing the gospel to reproach. We must guide against it. Now, our brother, Apostle Johnson Suleiman, is a young man, is full of life. And he's anxious to be on top. That's my assessment of him. When I see his approach to ministry work, I see a lot of arrogance and pride in his presentation of whatsoever he believes. I don't see humility in him. I see him, you know, like, you know, into showmanship. He does everything for show. Everything is for show. And the Bible does not give us that picture of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, it does not give us that picture of Christ. I think it is youthfulness that is mixing with what we call success, is inability to manage, you know, the popularity that goes with the gift that he has. You know, it attracts a lot of attention. I think he has a prophetic gift and maybe
miracle.
Word of the miracle, and he has a good oratory ability. Combine this together will cause a lot of attraction.
Wow.
You know, now he seems to lack the ability to tame what will go along with it. As you listen to this message, you see arrogance, you see pride. And I'm wondering, what for? You know, everything the young man does is you know, is to be seen. You know, I watched a clip. He said, you know, if I cough, it will go viral. If I sit down, it will go viral. If I bath, it will go viral. Anything I do, it will go viral. And I'm saying that it's not complimentary. It's not. You know, the social media community always want to have something to say, and you are giving them something to say, and that has nothing to do with your calling. You know, there's nothing there. What we are seeing, we are not seeing people giving their lives to Christ, you know, and that is going viral. You know, we are not seeing you, you know, drop things that make people think about life, that gives them hope. Now, the rapture will soon take place. So what should be the focus of servants of God now? I don't see that in his messages, you know. But I must give it to him. I believe God called him. You know, I believe that God called him. And if only he will allow the Holy Ghost to work on him more, to produce humility, his ministry will be more effective. Because so far, everything that I've seen concerning him in the media that's gone viral has been negative. You know, it's been negative.
Wow.
if it's not fighting with the government, you know, running to a governor to give him cover so that they will not arrest him. Is there inciting people against the government of the day, which is, you know, very, very unscriptural. Our own is to advise the government. Our own is to reduce the heat that's coming up. And if the person at the top will not listen and do good governance, then we pray that person out and God will take him out, but not to incite the people. Mm-hmm. And you want to flaunt everything in Hollywood, we see them with you. It was in his church, I saw they're celebrating his birthday with comedians, you know, making caricature of the gospel.
Wow.
And things like that. So this is generally who he is, which has produced what you see in this
clip.
And what was your question?
Yes, to my question again, sir, you've given us a general picture or something we should note. But I want to know, sir, is there anything wrong with a pastor owning a private church?
There's nothing wrong. That's why I said, ordinarily, there is nothing wrong with a pastor if he needs it.
If he needs it.
Of course, if he doesn't need it, he won't buy it. Mm. Aeroplane is not something you hang on the shelf for people to see. Mm. Aeroplane must be used. If it is not used, it becomes a liability.
Wow.
So certainly, now private jets, one of the countries that have the highest number of private jet owners is America. Now, if you fly from New York, for instance, to Los Angeles, it's more than 6 hours flight, jet flight. Mm. America is big. The size of Nigeria may just be a state in America. Mm. Okay. So now, a pastor that has preaching engagements regularly up and down here to begin to follow commercial flight schedules may disturb, you know, his own schedule. So such a pastor that is needed to frequently travel all around. I mean, people, you should even buy him a jet. He has a need for it. God would, one way or the other, make the ministry easier for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, get a private jet. So when it is needed, because that is why businessmen also have, you know,
private jet.
Actually, in America, it's no big deal for anybody to own a private jet. In America, it's no big deal, you know. People have it even just, you know, to fly around. People even go, like, you go to driving school to learn how to drive. They go for private pilot license, PPL. They go and then buy twin engine planes, even single engine planes. Just some, it's a hobby. They love to fly, you know. And then from time to time, they just go fly in the air and enjoy themselves and come and park, clean it and park it, you know, where they park it. It's no big deal. Why it is a big deal here is because when you compare the cost of buying a jet and then with our economy here, you know. Then also, now because we are pastors, there's a general impression that it is the people's offerings that you are using to buy the private jet. Now, even if you have need of it, it will be difficult from Africa to convince the people that you are taking billions of naira to buy private jet, depending on, you know, a lot of people, once you say private jet, they begin to think that it's a lot of money. There are some cars that are more expensive than a private plane.
What?
Oh, yes, that's something people don't know. Yeah. There are some cars that are more expensive. That's why I said in America, you know, and Europe, this thing don't mean anything to people, you know, for those who know, you know, aviation. There are some cars that are more expensive than some planes. And there are some planes too that are more, private jets that are more expensive than a commercial jet.
That's true.
So it is, I mean, just like cars, there are different categories of cars. Mm. There are different categories of planes. Now, so the impression is, once you say you have a private jet, you know, it creates a cloud around you. You belong to a class. That is in this poor part of the world. You belong to a class. Now, I want you to note also that in America, for instance, you know, when you own any property that is expensive, it goes with also high tax.
True.
But here, you know, they have their own way of dodging these taxes.
Mm.
If not, you would even come and announce that you have three, because by the time you finish the announcement, the next day, you know, during Governor Fashola's time in Lagos, I don't know if they still do it.
Mm.
You know, anytime they are in their tax drive, I remember I have one or two people that gave me that. If they see you with a clean Jeep, they had their scouts, Inland Revenue, all over. If they see you with a clean Jeep driving and passing, they will follow you. As you are parking, they are giving you a letter for your tax returns. How did you get the money? They want to see now your tax. How did you afford that car? You know, what's your income? How did you get that car? They were following it. And they would tell you, because the court is coming after you.
Mm.
Yes. And then you have to say, how did you get, you know, the car? But you can see now, tax. Now, it's possible that all this, he has taken care of them. Mm. It's possible that Apostle Suleiman, you know, for Apostle Suleiman that we know him, to own up to three jets, it may be that he has a commercial aviation business. Mm. If not, why will he own one, two, own three? Doing what, going where, doing what with it? It simply means he's into aviation business. Apostle Suleiman, come out and tell the people, stop all this trying to look big that you have three planes. You can't keep three planes, you can't maintain it now. Which business? Why do you pack them? Do you know how much you pay parking fee only per day per plane in Nigeria here, the airport? Do you know what it means to maintain one plane on a daily basis? Mm. So, you know, I believe maybe it's one of the reasons, because earlier this year, in January this year, I saw a news item that Nigeria, what do you call him? NEMA, is it NEMA?
NEMA,
Nigeria Space Management Agency.
Yeah, FAN, NEMA, NCAA.
NCAA, thank you, it's NCAA. NCAA gave, you know, a warning that warning those who have a license to operate charter services, air charter services, there's a process to get the air operating license, you know, to operate in Nigeria. Now, their charter, you know, that they discovered that people who own private jets give it to these companies to use those planes for charter to make money. And NCAA warned them, Nigeria Civil Aviation Authority warned them that they discovered they do that. Maybe that's what he's doing to make some quick money. He gets them and then sublease them to a charter company, so that when he himself too, when he wants to go anywhere, of course his plane now, he will use it and you know, come back. I say, I believe so. Now, why not come out and just say it? I'm my transporter, so I'm making my money. I'm even bringing more planes. Maybe he even has an air operating license for charter service. Tell them, you know, so that people will not think that you are using tithes and offering, because you and I, Suleiman, we all know, a man, a pastor like you, you know, we all know that all this flamboyant living of a pastor is not from tithe and offering. How much would the people bring for tithe and offering? You know, we all know, except those pastors that bless cocaine pushers, and they don't care where it's your source of income. But people like me, I mean, you can't bring a 50 million naira you want to drop out. I will question you. Where are you bringing, where are you getting that from? And they have come to me several times, and I turned them back. Mm-hmm. I said, no, don't do that. This is the church of God. It's God helped you to push cocaine. Mm-hmm. Now you're bringing his own. You know, that's wrong.
Wow.
So let Apostle Suleiman let the people know his source of income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything he does, he flaunts it in the social media. Mm-hmm. You know, he opens a PlayStation supermarket for his wife. The whole world should hear it. So let the whole world also hear where you're making your money from.
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll get off your back. You'll be more respected.
That's true.
You know, that you are not just a preacher, you are also doing business. Mm-hmm. And it is from there you're even funding your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And people will understand that. But this impression you are given is what is creating problem for you and the body of Christ.
Wow.
You will reproach the body of Christ. If Suleiman can hear me, and I know he hears me, you know, if you can hear me now, my counsel for you is, you know, take it easy and stop this boasting. Now, the boasting of a Christian, you boast in the Lord.
Amen.
You know? So answering your question, there is nothing wrong with anybody owning a private jet if you need it.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
Wow.
Because I know particularly that some time ago he spoke against pastors, that's Apostle Suleiman, owning private jets.
Yeah, even me. There are a lot of things when the ministry started that we speak because we are not confronted with such situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you change your perception as you grow along. You know, there are a lot of things I used to say that condemn other people, maybe when such situations had not arisen.
Yeah.
I mean, some things. I eventually will now get to know that what people like Adeboye face in the ministry because of his exposure is different from what me I will face. That's the truth, you know. The size of his ministry and the things that will go along with it, you know. And it may surprise you that even these private jets that, you know, people have, you know, pastors, may surprise you that may just be some church members that come together and buy it for him.
Mm.
You know, it's possible.
It's
you
possible.
Know, they'll see the need and they just come together. Let's do it. I know pastors that at lower level, that members come together, gather money and buy him car. They gather money and build him house.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the kind of people that are your ministry, they gather money. And that could be a gift. Like I told you, that there are cars are more expensive than even a private jet.
That's true, sir.
So you have to understand that. Yes, he could have spoken that before, you know, and there's nothing wrong about him correcting that perception.
Thank you, sir. Yes. I think I really agree with you because when he bought the second one,
and
the whole world made noise, he said they've not seen anything, it will be up to 50.
Mm-hmm.
So he might really be in the aviation business. I think I really agree with you.
You know, it may be aviation, but let him just, for the sake of the ministry, you know, if not, it will affect his perception, you know, as one who is there to make money using the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I read somewhere, you know, earlier today that he's recanting what he said.
That's true.
He said it was a slip of tongue.
Yes, that's Harry Potter's.
But that didn't look like a slip of tongue, you know, because it was an issue.
Okay, so what about the issue of when you speak in tongues, you print money?
No. He was just being sarcastic because he knows it doesn't happen. He was just being sarcastic, you know. If the speaking in tongue will make money, we will all start to speak in tongue. He was not being sarcastic in response to people who are wondering his source of income. And I said, why, you know, should not give occasion for such, you know, explain, you know. Recently, a friend gave me, you know, a Jeep, you know. And quickly, so that the church will not think it is tithe and offering that we bought a Jeep. Maybe I've bought a Jeep. I quickly announced to the church, praise God, my friend in Abuja retired yes, general.
That's right.
Yes, he said, Alu, you need this car more than me. This is all private car. He said, people think he has money. They don't know he's no more in service. You are the one. Now, use this. And he gave it to me. Now, it's my responsibility to let the people know, I didn't buy you. You know, and then people who are close to me, they know who,
exactly.
You know, who that's gave right. it to me. That's and right. I said it on air. You know, you see, we must live our lives and give room for no criticism. Though you will never stop having enemies, but the one you can do, please do it. You know, so you
thank you so much, sir.
It's their own way of trying to provoke him to tell them your source of income. And if your source of income is clean, why are you
hoarding it?
Yes. He mentioned also that why are they talking about the private jet? What of the other good things? He said he has put some church members on salary. He has built federal road. He has built a prison. He has built this. He has done that. These good ones that he also flaunted after doing them in the social media. Nobody commended him. And that it is this private jet now that, you know, they are commending. And it's wondering why. It is not why. It's the way you presented it. That is, you know, it was, you know, as if you have arrived. And more importantly, you are speaking during a period of, you know,
economic depression.
Where there is an economic depression, the pandemic is on, people are dying, and we are supposed to be more concerned being leaders and spiritual leaders, and to see that man has failed. Let's now let it be opportunity for God, you know, to intervene so that they will know there is a God somewhere. But you are saying that within that period, that is when you made the most money.
Yeah, relaxed.
You know, that is when you were relaxing. Even your wife was telling you, is life so sweet during such a pandemic? We are pastors, our hearts are in our mouth, so to say, praying. People like me that gave my number to the whole world. You know, if there's anybody, since we cannot go to pray for you where you are, call us. Our God is omnipresent. And we got so concerned while some of us could not sleep day and night, phone call from all over the world, praying for people who were, you know, having this incurable sickness. And somebody said that is the period he relaxed the most.
He said also that he gave out his number. You remember one time he said he gave out his number.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm quoting this scripture. He's saying that he relaxed. I couldn't have relaxed day and night because of even time differences from Japan, from China, from America, from Europe, within Nigeria, and then, you know, even within phone call, every time, you know, we were day and night until the whole thing began to subside. Then he say that was the period he rested the most. And then, so he was even praying that it should not end. But, you know, it's quoted out of context. What he meant there is that so that his rest period will continue.
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't mean it negative.
Yeah, that's
true,
sir.
It's just the presentation. And the enemy can hijack that, and, you know. But I listened and I knew what he meant.
Yes.
So that the rest can continue.
No preaching engagements, all those things.
No preaching engagement, no going up and down, even we here, you know, ministry-wise, we everything was now online.
That's true.
You know, everything was now online.
That's
but,
right.
But it didn't make the job less, because our job is to talk anyway, you know. But the area of physically doing deliverance and counseling and all that, you know, reduced. That is the truth.
True, sir.
And so don't finish the apostle. You see, may I use this opportunity to tell not only Apostle Suleiman, but all men of God. You see, for men of God,
yes, sir.
the testimony, our testimony, what we boast about, what we boast about. This is the way Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 31.
Yes.
That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
You are to glory in the Lord, that is, in the things of God. Apostle Paul, you know, is our perfect example. And this young man also says he's an apostle. Suleiman is, you know, claims the title of apostle. And it's expected that he will toe the line of the apostolic fathers too. Now, this is what Apostle Paul, this was his boasting. You know, yes, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 16.
Okay. 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little.
Now, boasting of any achievement,
yes,
he says, is foolishness. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. So to boast of any form of achievement, he says, it's foolishness. He said, but because people were boasting, he said, now you people are forcing me to also tell you my own. Let's read on.
Verse 17.
Yes.
That which I speak it not after the Lord, but that it were foolishly.
Because it's not God now that is pushing me to say this.
In this confidence of boasting.
Because boasting is foolishness. God.
Seeing that many glory after the flesh.
You glory after these fleshly carnal things. You boast about it.
I will glory also.
He said, you too. Oh yeah, let him also do his own.
For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak.
Now you see now.
Yes, sir.
You think that what we have been going through is weakness. The reproach that we've been going through, you think it is a weakness on our part. Read on.
Albeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews?
Are they Hebrew?
So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more.
He said, I'm even more a minister.
In labors, more abundant.
Even in labor, when you talk of ministry work, none could stand the extent of the ministry work that Apostle Paul had done.
In stripes, above measure.
Okay.
In prisons, more frequent.
Oh, no, you see, can you see what is boasting? Can you see it's boasting? That's why we both boast in the Lord, what you have gone through
in the Lord,
in the ministry.
In debts of the Jews, 5 times received thy 40 stripes.
See
in
this
one.
Stripe, 40, how many?
40 minus 1, that's 39.
39 stripes.
Wow. Thrice was I beaten with rods.
With rods.
Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the Eden. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
The care of all the churches.
Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory.
If I must need to glory, post.
I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities.
Please read that verse 30 again.
If I must needs glory.
If me as an apostle at all, this is what I will boast of.
I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities.
Go on.
The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window, in a basket, was I led down by the wall and escaped his hand.
See, now you see what the testimony. Not because he was fighting the government that SSS DSS, came to arrest him, Apostle Paul. It was because he was preaching to the Jews, contrary to the law, their religion. They see what he went through for the gospel's sake. Not only that, if you want to talk of revelation, go to chapter 12. From verse 1.
It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory.
Yes.
I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Okay.
I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew it. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew it. How that he was caught up into paradise.
Which verse is that?
Verse 4.
Verse 4.
And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such and one will I glory.
Can you see the extent that God took him to? Go ahead.
Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which is yet
can
to
you
be.
See? Can you see what tempts us?
Or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure.
See now.
Through the abundance of the revelation.
So much revelation that he had. Not so much money he had. But
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Okay.
The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above
Who
measure.
Who is the one that gave him?
God. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ that he might depart from
me. Three times he prayed that this thing should leave him.
And he said unto me,
yes.
My grace is sufficient for thee.
Okay.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Oh, verse 9 again.
And he said unto me,
yes.
My grace is sufficient for thee.
My grace is sufficient for you. Now watch this statement. This is thus said the Lord.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
God's strength is made perfect in what?
In weakness. Hallelujah.
God.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Oh, glory be to God. Verse 10.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Your strength is not determined by the abundance of earthly properties you own. You know, we are to live a life of contentment. Read the First Timothy, chapter 6.
Hallelujah.
You know, you people, when you don't know Bible, then you won't know how to rate, you know, ministers.
First Timothy 6, 6.
First Timothy, from verse 3, please.
If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness.
That what are they teaching?
Gain is godliness.
That is evidence that God is with you, is the material things you will acquire. So evidence that I am a true man of God is the type of car, right? The type of cloth I wear, the type of shoe I wear, the type of house I have built, the number of cars I have, that is evidence that God is with me. What did he say that? Read on.
From
it.
Such withdraw thyself.
Anybody that says godliness is gain.
Gain is godliness.
Prosperity preachers, earthly prosperity teachers that measure nothing but on prosperity. He said from such, what should you do?
From such withdraw thyself.
Go on.
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Godliness with contentment. The Bible preaches about moderation. Anything we do is be moderate over it. Everything we, the servants of God, we are the ones that the people should follow. Let them see humility. You know, a great man of God, one of the big preachers, popular preachers, I don't want to mention name now. I went to look for a car to buy one time, you know. And the car shop, I think it was in Leganza or so that I went, he said that general overseer that is here to get his Jeep, that they change his Jeep once every 3 or 4 years, the church buys it. He said, and that is the only vehicle he has. And yet, if he wanted to buy a private jet, he could buy three at the same time with the how big his ministry is.
Wow.
It's not redeemed.
Okay.
Yes.
So that you don't think he's the one. He at least our has one. This particular one doesn't have. You know, he's a holiness preacher. And he tries to portray humility as much as possible. Now that is what the picture that Apostle Paul is giving us. We have not finished. You see why he says so?
Verse 7.
Verse 6 again.
Okay. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. For
we brought nothing into this world.
You see?
And it is certain we can carry nothing out.
So if I'm not going to take any of these things acquired out, why will I kill myself over it?
And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation.
Okay, can you see now? When he says they that will be rich, we're talking about Christians. We're talking about believers. What he said that all of you that will be chasing worldly wealth, worldly riches, there is a risk, there's a danger to it. What happens?
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
You see, foolish and hurtful lusts,
which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Why?
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Verse 11.
But thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God,
one more time.
But thou, O man of God,
flee
these things.
Flee these things.
Hallelujah.
And do what?
And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Amen.
That's another apostle talking.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah.
That's an apostle. That's
Amen.
An apostle.
Amen.
And he said we should follow him because he's the apostle to the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
And he was vindicated.
Amen.
If you think he was not vindicated, go to verse 12. First Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter
12.
Second Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
Okay, so he was vindicated.
Very vindicated.
To be an apostle.
That's sir.
So you don't say you are more anointing than he. It was, you know, mighty miracles, signs and wonders. There are other examples for us. But the truth, you know. About this is when we lean too much towards the world, before you know what, you are easily influenced by the world, and you don't know it affects ministry work. Ministry work includes the work of maintaining integrity. To give ministerial integrity needs work. You work to achieve that, you see, and when you are loaded with these revelations, you know, the adage that says it is empty vessels that make the most noise.
That's right.
People who are facing serious ministry work, you know, all these are distractions. They are too busy focused with the work of preparing the people for the soon coming of the Lord, like Daniel. You will be found involved in all this Babylonia and so much things, you know. I just pray that Pastor Suleiman will take it to some of this advice I'm giving him. And some people will tell me, why, you know, calling him to talk to him. From the way he appears, I see him associating with so many of these big pastors, elderly ones. I hope they too should be talking to him. I don't have access to him. You know, I just see him in the social media. If I had access to him, you know, I would be talking to him more frequently. I would have been calling him. In fact, there are so many things, you know, that I will need to point his attention to that he will need to correct. My phone number is on the screen. Private phone number is on the screen. Call me at any time, Apostle Suleiman. I will talk with you. You want to see me anywhere? I will. I'm a very humble man. If you tell me, it's only I will not come. But within Lagos, anytime you're in Lagos here, you want to see me, I will gladly come and meet you in any hotel, anywhere. And we talk, we really, really talk at things that will help you. I see a lot of fire in you. You know, I have a lot of young people with the same grace that you have, that I've been bringing up. And there are a lot of things I teach them that you need to be taught also, that will help you in your ministry. And anybody who knows him, you can tell him that there's an invitation by somebody. Not to be sarcastic over it, my brother in the ministry. So we should talk to each other. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir.
Interesting.
Okay, that's it from Pastor Moses. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue to watch for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.